Are you resistant to change at work, at home, and in your life? It's more common than you'd think. But in order to move forward, sometimes you need to stretch and move out of your comfort zone. This is Grow Your Voice, Overcome Your Fears with life, business, and career coach, Sandra Hill. It's time to embrace change. This program features the motivation that you need to make it happen. Now, here is your host and coach, Sandra Hill.
Hey everyone, and welcome back. Happy Friday to you if you are listening to this episode, this week's episode live. You know, each week I have been striving to bring you amazing individuals from different walks of life who have been willing to share, been willing to be transparent, and help someone else who might be going through an unpleasant situation, some kind of change, or just feeling vulnerable. And you know, today that is easy for all of the above to occur. So much is going on in our world today, and depending on how you view things, you might be having a difficult time, a challenging time, or you might be having a unique time. On the flip side, you might find this time stimulating, exciting, full of opportunities, and really positively demanding. And you know, I say that because we are going through changes in the political arena, the social economic arena, the racial arena, and all of this is encapsulated by us being impacted, no matter where you live, by a global pandemic. Speaking of which, I would really like to take a few moments to thank and recognize those individuals, organizations, nonprofits, whomever, who are working on the front lines, as well as those individuals, organizations, nonprofits working behind the scenes. You guys are all doing an amazing thing with whatever you've got to work with. We're making progress, and you might be doing the necessary activity with or without PPE equipment. So please bear with me as I take a moment to thank our medical workers, our civil service employees, the sanitation workers, bank employees, pharmacy workers, mail carriers, first responders, journalists, and other media personnel, factory workers, our truck drivers, our military personnel, grocery store workers, delivery workers, our delivery individuals, our teachers, and teachers is loosely defined also as parents, aunts, uncles, and grandparents, all of those individuals who are taking a moment to help in with the online environment. Also, thanks to the restaurant workers, our service station employees, caregivers, utility workers, and plumbers, those individuals and organizations who are making masks and other essential equipment. Thank you, much love and much appreciation to all of you. And speaking of appreciation, I'd like to take a moment to thank those of you who have been loyal listeners. If this is your first time connecting, know that you can hear the show live or on demand via Google Play, Apple Play, or any Alexa-powered device. And don't forget, please click the like and subscribe button so you don't miss a new episode. Take a moment, share it with a friend, share the link with a family member, coworker, and even a frenemy. Because you know what? We got to start one person at a time, one step at a time, making this a better place. Thanks to those of you here in the United States, which includes Puerto Rico, as well as China, Russia, France, Germany, the Netherlands, Singapore, New Zealand. Sorry about that. I get tongue-tied as I start listing these. Australia, Canada, Japan, the Ukraine, Finland, Mexico, the UK, Sweden, Israel, Ireland, Nigeria, Ecuador, Thailand, Brazil, Italy, Egypt, and Colombia. Thank you so very much. And if you didn't hear your country, if you did not hear me saying thanks and appreciation for all that you're doing as far as this global pandemic, don't get upset, don't get mad, don't get irritated. Just send me an email message and say, hey, Sandra, you left us out. Because I'll tell you, I do apologize in advance. Now, without delaying any further, we have an exciting guest on today's show. You know, I say this all the time, but this young man is really, really special. I heard him speak and his topic really resonated with me, having been there, done that kind of resonation. So with me is Michael Levitt. Michael, you still there?
I still am. Hi, Sandra.
Hey, thank you for joining us today. Now, a little bit of information which you can expand on. Michael is the world's leading authority when it comes to burnout and burnout recovery, as well as burnout prevention. He goes by the title of Chief Burnout Officer, and he is a podcast host. I believe the podcast is Breakfast Leadership Network. He's also an NLP and a CBT therapist, and we'll have him share what that means. He's a professional motivational speaker, a Fortune 500 consultant. He's got several bestsellers, and some of his awards and recognition are top 200 podcasts on iTunes. He's been a two-time top 20 global thought leader. He is a former healthcare executive, CIO, and CFO, overseeing $2 billion, and that's B with a, that's billion with a B, $2 billion budgets. And he claims to have seen it and done it all. Michael, thank you. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me today. And whenever I hear my bio, I go, no wonder I'm tired. I've been very fortunate to have been able to reinvent my career several times. And each time, you know, I brought along the good stuff from my previous career and added it to my new career. And it's really given me some incredible insights as to how so many different sectors and organizations work. And it's been a true blessing for me to be able to have those opportunities in my career so far.
Wow, wow. Well, let's play rewind just a little bit. Why don't you tell our listeners how you got to be the Chief Burnout Officer?
My organization, the Breakfast Leadership Network, I launched a few years ago, and the reason why was I was seeing burnout increasing across society, America in particular, but it's a global problem as well. But the challenge is burnout is one of those things that sneaks up overnight, or it doesn't sneak up overnight, I should say. And so many people are dealing with it right now, especially during the middle of a pandemic. The working from home burnout, and we'll dive into this later, is definitely a huge problem. So I launched an organization to address burnout because I had my own burnout journey back in 2009, and it nearly cost me everything, including my life. So after recovering from a very, very tough year in my life, and reinventing myself, I discovered that there were so many people that were going down the same path that I did, and I wanted to do everything I could to prevent that. So I launched the organization, and the Chief Burnout Officer title was something where I wanted to have something that, you know, passes the eyebrow test, as some people like to say, and really catch people's attention, because it is a good conversation starter. And I said, what does the Chief Burnout Officer do? And quite frankly, what they do is they look within the organization and its people to make sure that people aren't burning out and the organization isn't burning out its teams.
Wow. So, Michael, I know your story because I met you after listening to that story. Is that something you're willing to share with our listeners?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a comedy, quite frankly. No, I'm kidding. It's not a comedy. It's, although I do laugh at it sometimes, which is kind of weird. But once people hear the story, they'll recognize why I find humor in it in a bit. But backstory, back in 2007, I started a role as a healthcare executive for a startup organization. just outside of Windsor, Ontario, Canada. I am a dual citizen. I was born in the Detroit area and immigrated to Canada in 2004. So I started in this new healthcare role, and what was ironic about that role was I had never worked in healthcare before. And here I was hired to lead a healthcare organization, which it took me a year to figure out why in the world they hired me, but we'll get to that in a second. But in that role, there was a mandate by the board of directors to grow and expand the organization at all costs. Doesn't matter what we needed to do, which meant a lot of conversations in the community to demonstrate why our healthcare organization was better than the other ones in that community, what the purpose of the organization was, and recruit staff and hire doctors and all of this stuff. Again, these are all things that I'd never done before. So I had a steep learning curve in a very short period of time to figure out how in the world do I recruit a physician? What are the things that doctors like to hear to leave where they're at and come to work at this particular clinic? And I was successful. I was able to recruit physicians to the clinic because, again, I had really good mentors, and I did a lot of research, and thankfully I know how to read, so I was able to read up on a lot of different techniques to do it. So from 2007 to 2009, I was working at a pace that is, quite frankly, not sustainable. And it all came to a crashing halt in May of 2009. And I was mowing my lawn one day, and I had an electric lawnmower because our lawn wasn't that big, and you know, gas prices were pretty high then. So I didn't want to invest in something like that, so decided to go with an electric mower. But it was really hard to turn. So I was turning the corner to mow another path, and I felt this really sharp pain in the center of my chest. And it felt like I pulled a muscle, and it hurt. I mean, it really caused me some discomfort. I was able to finish mowing, you know, the front part of our lawn. And I stopped and went inside and took a couple Tylenol in and just went about my day. And then I noticed over the next few days that pain would come up anytime that I would lift anything with my right arm. And I'm left-handed, so oftentimes when I grab things, I'm using my left hand, so it wasn't frequent that I was doing it. But every time I lifted anything with my right arm, that pain would come back. And fast forward to a Thursday evening, my former wife and I went out to dinner, and we ate way too much food. And around 10:30 that night, I was laying in bed, and all of a sudden I had that pain that I had earlier in the week, but it was significantly more impactful. It literally felt like an elephant was standing on my chest. And I thought, okay, that was gas or indigestion because I ate way too much food and rich in fats and not healthy stuff. So I took a couple Tums and then went to bed. Got up in the morning, Friday morning, and basically that pain was persistent. It was always there. It didn't go away. So thankfully, working in a medical clinic, there's doctors there. So I talked to the physician and I explained to him the situation and what had happened for the week. And he hooked me up to the EKG machine in our clinic and ran a test, looked at the results, was perplexed, had our nurse basically disconnect all the leads that they do when they perform an EKG and put them on again just in case there was something wrong. So they put the leads in different spots, and they ran the tests again, but they got the same results. So they took the results and they faxed them to Hotel Du Grace Hospital in Windsor. And Dr. Gina, who's a cardiologist in that community, called after receiving the test and results and told the doctor to tell me to tell Michael to get his butt into the clinic or the hospital right now and do not drive. So that was the start of a very impactful year. I had had a heart attack. I was age 40. I had two blockages in my left anterior descending artery, which in cardiology world, they refer to that artery as the widow maker because typically when people have blockages in that artery, they don't survive if they have a heart attack. Thankfully, I'm still here and I did survive it. But that set off a chain of events, and after 17 weeks of recovering from my cardiac event, I was let go from my role. as the director for this clinic. They wanted to go in a different direction. Now, mind you, this is 2009, and for many people, they remember that time. That was during the economic recession that the U.S. and Canada had experienced, and bank foreclosures, and the auto sector was in deep trouble. Now, mind you, Windsor, if you're not familiar with the area, is across the border from Detroit. And Detroit was on its last leg as far as the auto sector was concerned, and the government had to basically bail them out. So ultimately, what happened from that point, from doing the heart attack to the job loss, over the next few months, my family car was also repossessed, and my home was foreclosed. So in a period of 369 days, I had a heart attack that should have killed me. I lost my job during the economic recession. My family car was repossessed, and our home was foreclosed all in a year.
And stop right there. Stop right there. This is going to be like a movie. There's a suspense line, guys. Just waiting. But you got to wait till we come back from break. Got to wait till we come back from break. Because there's more to the story. Who's that guy who used to say that? There's more to the story. Okay, so we will be right back. Stay tuned.
We don't follow, we lead. Join us, the Voice America Influencers Channel.
Sandra Hill is part of a new coaching compilation about creating the life you want. Her chapter is called How to Survive and Thrive at Today's Version of the Game of Life. Sandra is also launching a new webinar called Ramp It Up, 6 Limiting Beliefs That Are Preventing You from Increasing Your Income. Visit NewHorizonCoaching.com to find out more about the launch of the webinar series, as well as Sandra Hill's other coaching programs. You may also check out her line of popular ebooks, such as Learn to Let Go, How to Create Your Own Space, How to Reduce Frustration, and many more. Sandra and New Horizon Coaching have some great packages available for individual or group life, business, and career coaching sessions. She offers discounts on referrals for individuals and group coaching. In fact, you can get started right now with an additional discount on her services by using promo code VA. So visit NewHorizonCoaching.com. That's New, HORIZON Coaching.com, and use promo code VA, as in Voice America.
Tune in to the Tony D'Urso Show with key influencers for entertaining and thought-provoking weekly discussions with some of the top stars in their fields. From business, sports, and science to entertainment, music, and literature, Tony's guests share their success and give their wisdom. If you're looking to manifest your vision and see how others have done so, be sure to listen to the Tony D'Urso Show every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Influencer Channel.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
You are tuned in to Grow Your Voice, Overcome Your Fears. To reach the show today, call in to 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. If you'd rather send an email, you may send it to Coach Hill at NewHorizonCoaching.com. And remember, Horizon is spelled H-O-R-I-Z-E-N. Now, back to Grow Your Voice, Overcome Your Fears.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for staying tuned. You know, I hated to cut Michael off right before commercial because we were going to be in a suspense-hanging situation, but there's more to the story. So, Michael, why don't you pick up where you left off? You were sharing, in case individuals missed it, that you had a blockage, the Widowmaker, heart attack, you lost that position, and then you had your home foreclosed on, right?
Yep, and car repossessed as well. So, yeah, all of those things happened in a period of just over a year, 369 days, and I do refer to that period of time as a year of worst-case scenarios, because people, having a heart attack or any type of health scare is a horrible situation to deal with. Losing your job at any time, especially during an economic recession or what we're seeing now in a pandemic, is very, very troublesome to people. It's never pleasant to see your vehicle be towed away by the repossession truck, knowing that you weren't able to make payments. And I'll explain why in a second, why I couldn't make payments. And of course, the home foreclosure was, you know, the final nail in the coffin of the original version of me. One of the things when going through all of those losses, and I talk about this in my book, at the point of when I went to the house and discovered that it was foreclosed, it was a situation where we didn't receive any mail indicating the bank was going to foreclose the house. We were actually getting ready to list it because we had already moved out and moved to Toronto at that particular point. But when I got to the house to grab a bunk bed ladder that we forgot when we had moved out of the house a week or so before, that's when I opened up the front door, the screen door, and saw the most humongous lock that I've ever seen in my life. You don't see these locks at Home Depot. It's gigantic. I don't know who sells these, but somebody does. And a very small note that said foreclosure. And so at that particular moment, a lot of people would think, okay, what did you feel at that particular moment? And I felt the greatest amount of peace that I've ever felt in my life, because I knew at that particular moment that everything that had happened, I had survived all of those things, and I was better for it. Those 369 days were the best thing that could have ever happened to me, because it gave me an opportunity to make changes in myself, and I needed to. You know, I had choices. I could have, one, said, look, I'm Superman. I survived all of those things, and I'm still standing. Okay, I can withstand anything. I could have blamed everybody. I could have blamed the organization for letting me go. I could have blamed the banks for taking away my stuff, or the fast food companies for giving me food that clogged my arteries. I could have done all of that, but I didn't, because they weren't to blame. I was. And having that self-accountability was a big step for me to pause and take the steps that I needed to take in order to reinvent myself. And it wasn't an overnight thing. It took time, and it took some soul searching and a lot of review of why I did what I did in every aspect of my life. What was the motivating factor in my choices, in my thoughts, my beliefs? And when doing that, I gained a lot of awareness. And the key thing, and before we get too far into this, is when people want to do some self-reflection, there's an automatic judgment component that comes into things, and you can't judge yourself. You got to treat yourself with love. You are always with you. You know, you are, no matter where you go, you are always there with you. So it's you. It's your body, your mind, your soul, your spirit, everything. It's you. And you need to love and take care of that, because no one else really will. You have to. Now, you can get assistance and help and whatnot, but at the end of the day, you have to take care of yourself. So when I was going through the exercise of reflection and figuring out, okay, what led up to my year of worst case scenarios, you know, I came to a lot of conclusions. One was I was a people pleaser. I always put people ahead of me. And secondly, I was too much of a perfectionist. I wanted to do things my way, and I was very rigid, and expected things to be very concrete. It should be this way, and not be open to other options and what life is. Life is full of options. Life is full of opportunities and different paths to get to the same destination. And just being easier on myself was something that was so important for me. And after a few years and reinventing myself and designing my life to be the ideal life that I live now, that's when I discovered that there was a lot of other people in this world that were going through the same things that I did, and it scared me. And I thought, okay, what can I do about this? There's something in my story and what I went through that can be used to help prevent people from having their own year of worst case scenarios.
You know, thank you so much for sharing, because you're right. There are a lot of people, more so than you and I can probably even imagine, who have been through, gone through, and some of whom not survived, or some who had a pity party.
You know, I know a lot of people that have had similar heart attacks that did survive, but their health did not improve. You know, they're on disability, they haven't worked, and they're really struggling because they were young. And we're seeing cases now of just alarming numbers of people before they hit age 40 having heart attacks. And that's just alarming and frightening to me that ideally no one should have a heart attack ever, but they certainly shouldn't have one before they hit 40.
And you know, you've got a point there. And I'd like to segue, because when we were talking behind the scenes, I shared with Michael an article that came up on my feed. I write for Forbes magazine, and it came up in my feed, my Google feed, 3 career paths known to cause burnout. And I found this surprising. And listeners, you might also. And it's written from the perspective of a client who is just close to being 30 years old. And Michael, I believe you said when your situation hit you, you were 40.
Correct.
So this individual said all of a sudden her brain started getting foggy. She felt like her grandparents. And I'm going to paraphrase, so I won't have to read through the whole article. But basically, it said that this individual was hitting burnout close to 30 early in her career, and she is not alone. Supposedly, there's a Gallup study that found that 2/3 of people today experience burnout at some point in their lives, and it's most prevalent among the millennial population. And this is validated by the American Psychology Association, and mostly females. Don't know, you know, all the issues around there, but it's mostly females. And there also, this study also found out that there are 3 industries that have the most prevalent workplace burnout. And you know what number one is, Michael?
I have an idea, but go ahead and share.
The medical field.
Shocking. Yeah, no, I'm being sarcastic. Having worked in healthcare for over a decade, that does not surprise me a bit. And I've spoken at a healthcare conference a couple times in Chicago on burnout, physician burnout and nurse burnout. And here's an alarming stat as well. Physician suicide is one of the highest suicide rates of any profession in the United States. And it's devastating to me, because as our population is aging, we need more healthcare workers, not less. And the pressure that's being placed on our healthcare professionals is absolutely mind-boggling. And I know the reasons why. A lot of it is compliance. The amount of record keeping that medical people have to do now compared to the paper charts from years ago is insane. The constant battles with insurance and making sure that healthcare people are getting paid and being able to bill for the services that they provide. It's an ongoing battle, and it's in the pressures, and sometimes, and I give patients grace in this, but I will say this because I've witnessed it, you know, more times than I can count. A lot of patients come into hospitals and the emergency room and clinics, and they're not polite. They're quite rude. And I get it. You're not feeling well. You're sick. You want help. And it's frustrating to wait. It's frustrating not knowing what's wrong with you. All of these things come into play. But what happens is it makes a very difficult situation even worse. And the pressure to perform. Well, think about it, you know, because I'm not a physician, and I don't believe you are.
Nope.
And many of our listeners may not. You go into the emergency room with a situation, and that healthcare professional has to diagnose what you tell them and figure out the right amount of treatment, the right number of milligrams of whatever medication to take. It gives me a headache just trying to figure out how in the world can they keep on top of all those things and do it in a pressure situation, because it's one of the few industries that, in fact, it is a life or death type mm-hmm. of equation.
Yep.
So
yep.
you have all of these factors in there, and that's why healthcare is such a stressful situation. In many organizations, they're understaffed, and it just makes a problem. What are number two and three?
And yes, in light of healthcare, especially with COVID-19, definitely. Two and three, number two is law, being a lawyer primarily. And three, believe it or not, are the STEM industries, the science, technology, engineering, and math. Now, lawyers, of course, it's basically because of the demands of their job. Like you were with the healthcare industry, you're probably burning the midnight oil on both ends. And according to this report, lawyers are basically suffering from the demands, the culture, and the various personality types that they tend to be because they like law. And if you're familiar with Myers-Briggs, the ISFJ is that personality type. Like I believe, Michael, you were probably a strong A-type personality. You were that perfectionist. And, you know, those are the type of personalities where you see people burning out because you tend to be hardest on yourself.
And I was an ISFJ, and a lot of people say, what do you mean you were what you was? Because usually your Myers-Briggs scores don't change.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you have a significant life event. So
yes.
So prior to my cardiac event, I was an ISFJ. And afterwards, I did the assessment again a few years later. And the I turned to an E, so extroverted, which when, you know, I think about that at first, when I saw that diagnosis, I'm like, oh, you gave me the wrong piece of paper. This isn't mine. But when they went through it and they explained it, and I said, okay, yeah, it makes sense, because and it puzzled them too, because they had my old score because I brought my paperwork, and they looked and I said, did something significant happen to you in life? And of course, I was working for an organization that wasn't made aware of, you know, what had happened to me. And I said, you could say yes. And I just laughed at that.
Okay.
But the law, real quick, is one of those things where I, you know, ironically, maybe an hour before we jumped on this call, I was chatting with an attorney friend. She's a divorce attorney. And Fridays tend to be really busy for her because of custody situations, kid handoffs, you know, courting and things like that. So Fridays, even in the summer, are really chaotic for her, and she wants to have, you know, a quiet, you know, summer weekend, just like many of us do. So, you know, I told her, it's like, well, if Fridays are naturally this busy, can you take Mondays off during the summer? And she indicated that Mondays are much like the Fridays. They're really chaotic.
Wow.
She said midweek tends to be better. And I said, well, then go on your calendar and block off a few Wednesdays this summer, just because, you know, in this climate where I'm at, and I'm in Toronto right now, you know, our summers are short, and we don't get as much nice weather as other parts of the world do. So I told her, you know, block off some Wednesdays and don't work. You know, and for those type A driven personalities, and I know them because I am one and was one, it's difficult to just have a don't do anything day. It's challenging, even
yes.
for me. And I coach and teach on this, but I know the triggers, I know the signs, I know what I need to do to step away, and the things that I can do to quote unquote do nothing. And it makes a big difference, and it's a huge, huge thing. It's part of the coaching and teaching that I do, and the events that I speak at, is, you know, making sure that you block off time in your calendar to do things that you enjoy. Because all work and no play, you know.
Yeah. You
too could take 8 milligrams of Coversil every night. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I can totally relate, because I used to be a type AAA+ personality. Okay, really out there. And I had to learn to take small trips every quarter, just mental health days periodically, but actually go on a small weekender or something once a quarter, because of the high pressure job. And if you don't have relief, you're going to explode, or your health will impact you. So Michael, why don't we take a moment to share a couple of other, well, first let's share how people can recognize that they're that type of personality, for one, or that they're even suffering from burnout, because so many of us don't recognize it until it's too late.
Yeah, that was my situation. I was the last person on the planet to know that I was burned out. Everybody else around me knew. And I asked them later on, after I had recovered, why didn't you tell me? And they told me, we did. You wouldn't listen. So common signs I see with people that are burned out or burning out is, one, the quality of sleep that they have has been horrible for some time. You know, they're not sleeping well. They're tossing and turning. They're not getting rest, which is a huge problem, because your body needs restful sleep to repair the damage that we do to ourselves on a daily basis. You can live the healthiest of lives. You can be the most active, have 0.1% body fat, eat kale, lettuce, and nothing else. I'm being sarcastic here, but you could be the perfect specimen of a human being as far as everything that they tell us to do in order to live our quote-unquote healthy life. But you still do damage to your body every day just because of the environment, what you consume, the air we breathe, water, all these things. So your body needs the ability to rest and recover. And when you sleep, that's when your body's doing the repair job and getting everything ready to go for the next day. Well, if you don't get the restful sleep, then your body's not repairing the damage, and all of a sudden you add another day on it and there's more damage, and then you add another day and there's more damage. So that's one sign. The second one is you start making more mistakes at work. You're not clear in your head. Like, you know, the article you had referred to a few minutes ago, foggy. You're foggy in the head. You're not clear. You don't have clarity in life, and you're kind of fumbling around, and you feel kind of dazed and confused sometimes. A big sign, too, for me was when you stop doing things that you enjoy doing. And at the time that I was leading up to my heart attack, I was a mini season ticket holder for the Detroit Tigers. So I'd go to roughly 30 games a year. I love baseball. I've loved it since the 70s when I was a little kid. It's been my favorite sport of all. And I love sports, but baseball is always number one. And I quit going to the games in late 2008 and early 2009. That should have been a huge flag for me, because I love going to the games. I love the sport. And another one that I know was a situation is you're also irritated by a lot of things, and you're irritable towards people that you would never be rude to, loved ones, family, parents, friends, all of these things. So when you go through all of those signs and you start seeing all those things, either within yourself or people that you know, those are definitely some huge red flags to take a look at and see, you know, why these things are happening.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And sometimes the truth hurts, you know, but you've got to stop and smell the roses. And when we come back, we'll take some more questions of Michael. So if you want to take a moment to call in, feel free to do so. Or you can send me an email. You'll hear that information via a commercial break. And also, we're going to have Michael share how you can get in touch with him. If you want to have a one-on-one with him, ask him some questions and whatnot. So stay tuned, because we'll be coming right back.
We don't follow, we lead. Join us, the Voice America Influencers Channel.
Sandra Hill is part of a new coaching compilation about creating the life you want. Her chapter is called How to Survive and Thrive at Today's Version of the Game of Life. Sandra is also launching a new webinar called Ramp It Up, 6 Limiting Beliefs That Are Preventing You from Increasing Your Income. Visit NewHorizonCoaching.com to find out more about the launch of the webinar series, as well as Sandra Hill's other coaching programs. You may also check out her line of popular ebooks, such as Learn to Let Go, How to Create Your Own Space, How to Reduce Frustration, and many more. Sandra and New Horizon Coaching have some great packages available for individual or group life, business, and career coaching sessions. She offers discounts on referrals for individuals and group coaching. In fact, you can get started right now with an additional discount on her services by using promo code VA. So visit NewHorizonCoaching.com. That's New, HORIZON Coaching.com, and use promo code VA, as in Voice America.
Are you ready to move to your next level? Listen for Empowering Women, Transforming Lives with host Rebecca Hall-Greider. Each show will focus on a central topic with discussion, guests, and your questions being featured. Our show is perfect for women who feel a call in their heart to step out in a bigger, more powerful way in their life and just need some encouragement, inspiration, and practical steps to support them on their journey. Empowering Women, Transforming Lives can be heard live every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Influencers Channel. And join us for a replay of the show on Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
This is the Voice America Influencers Channel. Be inspired.
You are tuned in to Grow Your Voice, Overcome Your Fears. To reach the show today, call in to 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. If you'd rather send an email, you may send it to Coach Hill at newhorizoncoaching.com. And remember, Horizon is spelled H-O-R-I-Z-E-N. Now, back to Grow Your Voice, Overcome Your Fears.
Hey, everyone. During the break, Mike and I were chatting about how time flies. And we will be off air. So I'm going to ask Michael, before we get started, to share contact information in the event that you have a question that comes to mind after this show is aired. Or you didn't have time to jot down the phone number or the email address, but get a pen and paper now as Michael shares the best way to contact him. If you want some additional information, he's a motivational speaker. If you want him to come to your business, organizational meeting, what have you, or if you just want to learn more information about burnout or where you can find his books.
Sure. Thank you for that. My best way to find me is you can go to my website, breakfastleadership.com. I'm also on social media under the letter B, Fast Leadership. So Be Fast Leadership. Don't put that on a license plate, people. It's just a pro tip for you. And then also, if you need to email me, you can email me at Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, at breakfastleadership.com. Breakfast Leadership is all one word.
Awesome. Awesome. And that is, your podcast is on iTunes, correct?
iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio, TuneIn. It's pretty much everywhere. It's okay. Shown up at places that I haven't even known existed. I'm like, oh, wow, I guess it's there too. Yeah. But iTunes and Spotify for sure.
Awesome. Awesome. And, you've written several books. The one you mentioned, the 369 days, how to survive a year of worst case scenarios. I believe that's the actual title. How can individuals get that book and in what formats?
They can go to Amazon and get it in all the formats, paperback, Kindle, hardcover. Eventually there'll be an Audible version of it. I just have to get around to doing that. But my speaking schedule and podcast schedule has kept me preoccupied on that. But, that's the best way to find it. And I know right now if for people that have Kindle, it's currently 99 cents on the Kindle store. So, it's a good way to pick up the book. It's a quick read and it was intended to be that way. It was written in a way to kind of give you some background of where I'm from, what I've done, and then the journey that we alluded to earlier about the 369 days. And there's some humor in it. I laughed a couple times, in reading the book after it went out into the wild on some things. And there's some serious stuff too, because going through those things it is detrimental to people, but I look back at it, and as I've said before, it was the greatest thing that could have ever happened to me because it gave me an opportunity to reset my life and design the life that I wanted to live and get to live every day. And I'm very thankful for, the opportunity that, that story and that period of my life has created for me now.
Wow. That is awesome. You have a purpose. And, how would you suggest those individuals who might be susceptible, I guess, to burnout, or they really don't think they have burnout, or they're, it's not going to happen to me. What would you say to those individuals?
Burnout can sneak up on you and you won't realize it. It happened to me. I didn't see it coming, although all my behaviors and thought patterns and actions definitely created the scenario of burnout to exist. But if there's one thing, and there's many aspects to prevent burnout and, you know, get better sleep, eat better, but the one thing that was a game changer for me was establishing personal boundaries in your life. And that means the boundaries of how people treat you, the boundaries of when you work and when you don't work, the boundaries around checking email, the boundaries around family interactions and different things. You have to remember, you are the boss of your life. You control your calendar. While yes, you may have agreements with your employer and you have to work a set number of hours during the week, that's fine. But even within those hours, you can have boundaries around when you do things, because if you don't, people will implement the boundaries that they want for you on you. And they're not doing it in a way that's in the best interest of you. Doesn't mean they're intentionally trying to harm you, but it does mean that you won't have control of your life the way that you should. So personal boundaries are critical in order for you to be able to live the life that is the best way to live your life for you.
And you know, Michael, I'm glad you said that, because with COVID-19 and so many parents having to homeschool and remote work, some of my clients and past clients reached out to me and said, I'm going crazy. How do I do? What's the expectation? And I found that for some people, they just couldn't say no, or they thought the directive from their boss could not be challenged.
Yeah.
And they just didn't let the boss, you know, or whoever their director, you know, manager was, know what their situation was.
Yeah, it's a big communication issue. And I like to say that no is a complete sentence. And I know a lot of people are very uncomfortable to say no, especially right now, because they're afraid if they say no to their boss that they'll lose their job. And if they lose their job, then they can have a year like Mike did. And they don't want that. And I don't want that for them either. We're in a very difficult time, unlike anything that we've seen in a century. And the full-time school teachers that many of us have become, on top of our normal jobs and working remotely and having managers that unfortunately don't know how to manage because they can't see you every day in the office like they used to. Mm-hmm. They go into this micromanagement thing to make sure that you are working.
Right, right.
And my hope in all of this is that there will be a shift of what work looks like, instead of this, okay, for 8 hours, you have to do these things, and shift to, here are your tasks as an employee. These are the things that we expect you to have done by the end of the day or by the end of the week, and let people do that. Get out of their way. As a manager, you're there in case they need to manage something, but you don't need to micromanage individuals every minute of their workday and require them to be on camera for 8 hours. It's an unrealistic ask. And it's brought to light a lot of bad management practices. And it's also fed into the working from home burnout situation that we face. And my advice for people, especially those that are working and they've got their kids to teach and everything, and employers especially, now is not the time to aim for perfection. Now is not the time to say, okay, we have to get an A on all of these school assignments. Do the best you can, but make sure you take care of yourself. Make sure you get the rest you need. Make sure you're eating properly. Make sure you get outside and get active. Yes, I know with social isolation and distancing and all of that stuff, you know, early on, at least in the first couple of months of the pandemic, there were so many people that literally did not leave their house. They didn't go outside at all. And there's precautions you can take, and obviously follow the guidelines of the medical profession and experts that know, okay, this is what you can do, this is safe, and but also do what feels safe to you. But at the end of the day, just do your best job, but don't try to do that type A personality has to be perfect job right now. It's not the time for it. And as for employers too, don't roll out a bunch of new initiatives right now. It's not the time. Figure out what your clients need. And I find so many companies, they've launched all these new endeavors and new projects and all of that, and they've never asked their clients, hey, what do you need right now? Because exactly. your clients need something, and it might be very simplistic. Uh-huh. And right now, just focus on what your clients need and what your employees need, and keep the communication lines open to say, how are you doing? You know, a client of mine that I help out, you know, they have check-ins about once a month. They were doing them weekly, but then they cut them back to a month because it seemed to be the right fit. But those check-in calls are not, okay, what are you working on? What's the project? What's the status of this? What of that? And the employees like to, you know, lean towards that. But the conversations were, how are you doing? Is there anything that we can do to help you during this time? Is there any challenges you're facing? Are you having difficulty finding this or this? Even to the point where, you know, some people said, well, we know that this grocery store on this street has flour right now. And that's what that person needed. They didn't need to know, okay, how are you doing on this project or this, like they have flour in stock at that grocery store. And that's what was in the meeting. It brought a human element back to things. And I think ultimately that's what we need to focus on, is being more human in these situations and being more forgiving with each other and just doing the best we can, but knowing and getting rid of that, I have to do everything, because spoiler alert, you're not going to be able to. Right. Just can't.
Right. Thank you for sharing. And I don't know if that's your final word, but are there any final words or tips you want to share before we wrap up?
Yeah. Real quick. One, and I alluded to this earlier. One of the big burnout signs for people is they stop doing things that they enjoy. So an exercise I have people do is, on a sheet of paper, on the left side of the paper, write down all the things in life that they love doing that brings them joy and fulfillment. And it can be simple: going to a coffee shop, going to the movies, going to dinner, going to concerts, you know, all those things that we used to be able to do. Mm-hmm. And we will be able to do again at some point. But just list all of those things out that just really make you smile and feel good about yourself. And then after that exercise, I have them on the right side of each of those items write down the last time they did them. And what we find is so many people don't do things that they really enjoy and love to do. And I ask them, why aren't they doing it? And they say they don't have enough time. And I tell them, we all get the same 24 hours a day. You need to prioritize it. So as an offering to the audience, you know, no obligation, if you go to breakfastleadership.com/bucket, you can get a template with this, what I call the bucket list. And I highly encourage people to do this exercise. And then in the next 10 days, put two or three things on that list on their calendar and schedule them and treat them as if they were the most important meeting they've ever had with their boss. Because as I said before, the boss of your life is you.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing some of my thunder, because I was going to reference that 24 hours too, but that's what it is, everybody. Each of us has 24 hours to do something, not everything, not be the end all for everyone. Do something for yourself. Schedule your time, schedule your breaks, schedule your play time, schedule your work time, schedule your sleep time. And Michael, if I've got this wrong, please correct me. Michael's sharing that you can go to breakfastleadership.com/bucket.
So, breakfastleadership.com/bucket. And
yes,
just enter some information. I'll email you that. I'll email you some additional resources. I know we didn't get a chance to talk about it, but tracking your interruptions as well. And I'll give them instructions on, you know, how to use the templates and everything like that. But yeah, breakfastleadership.com/bucket.
Yeah, and we've got to have you come back on, because obviously hour is not enough time to cover all that you have to share. So thank you so very much, Michael. As we wrap up, everyone, you've been listening to me, Sandra Hill, your life, business, and career coach at New Horizon Coaching and Professional Growth Advancement, where we like to say we make the impossible possible. Thank you. Stay tuned next week to grow your voice, overcome your fears. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening this week to Grow Your Voice, Overcome Your Fears. Be sure to join your host, Sandra Hill, again next Friday at 12 noon Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Influencers Channel. We hope you have a great weekend and a great week ahead as well.